share with you is Jesus knows your thoughts. Jesus knows my thoughts this morning. Jesus knows your actions. You know, I can go in this room to my right and I can walk in there and I can go in there, or I can go behind a closed door anyway and I can tell somebody what I want to tell them. I can be a major influence in their life and do whatever I want to do behind them doors and walk back out and nobody knows what has been said. But you always remember, God knows your thoughts. A lot of times we want to believe God only knows our heart. But folks, I want you to know this morning, God knows our thoughts. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 27 this morning will be our text, if you'll turn there. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 27. But I want to go back and I want to get where I'm going to tell you that Jesus knows your thoughts this morning. He knows your thought patterns. Can I say to you this morning, you can hide from anybody you want to hide from, but you can't hide from God. Oh, He can hide from you, but you can't hide from Him. No matter what you do, where you go, what you say, or what may happen this coming up week, you can't hide from God. Have you ever thought about when the Bible says you'll give an account for every idle word? Maybe if you took in realization that you're going to give account for every idle word that you say, you wouldn't gossip as much as you do. Can I get an amen? Maybe you wouldn't publicize some things that you publicize, and you wouldn't boast about things that you boast about this morning. Every time I say you, always remember I'm in there with you. Amen? But I want to show you in the Word of God this morning. Hold your place in Philippians chapter number 1. And I want to turn to the book of Matthew chapter number 12, if you will. Matthew chapter number 12. And I believe it would be, let me see, Matthew chapter number 12. And the scripture would be verse number 25. Let me make sure I'm in the right text. I had that thing marked, and I said, why have I got it in John? Folks, the scripture, if it ain't where you're supposed to be, it won't allow you to read it. Somebody needs to hear it. I'll give it to you this morning. Jesus knows your thought. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 25, and the Bible says, I would ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 25, and the Bible says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 27, remember, Jesus knows your thoughts. Verse number 27, so let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. In verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. And let us pray. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. Father God, we thank you this morning that you know our thoughts. Father God, we thank you this morning. You know what we think before we ever think it. You know what we say before we ever say it. I want to thank you this morning that you've allowed us to come into this place. And Father God, to be aware of our conversation and what we would say and where it would go and what we would do. Lord God, I'd pray you'd rain the Holy Ghost down this morning in a mighty way. Father God, I would pray this morning that your spirit just be alive in this place. Father, I realize this morning it's never been about what you can do. It's about what we allow you to do. Father God, this morning you have made man. You have formed this world. Father God, you have spoke into existence light. So Father God, this morning I pray you'd reach down and kindle a fire in my heart and to kindle a fire in somebody else's. Lord God, I would pray when the Holy Spirit sweeps through this place, whoo, that it would not pass me by. Lord God, I'd pray this morning when Jesus passes by, we see that you know our thoughts. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. And we glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, there's no other name under heaven given whereby men must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I love you, and Father, I thank you. Thank you for this day. Guard my throat. Guard my thoughts. It's in the name of Jesus Christ I ask and do pray. And all of God's people said, you may be seated this morning. Jesus knows your thoughts. Jesus knows your thoughts. The Bible shows us that Jesus knows our thoughts. And this morning, I want to ask you a question. How does it make you feel knowing that the Lord knows your thoughts? That the Lord knows your intentions? The Lord knows what you're thinking, and the Lord knows what's going on inside of you. Do you remember in the book of Matthew when he said, but whom do men say that I am? And they said, some say you're this, and some say you're that. But he said, whom do you say that I am? Friends, I want you to know this morning, he knows what you're thinking, and he knows what you think about him this morning. But I want to look at these three things this morning. I want to look at what should we do since Jesus knows our thoughts. If you look in the verse number 27, the first thing we should do, if you look down in the verse, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. The number one thing you should do is this, that you stand fast in one spirit, that we stand fast for the Lord. We must be ready to stand fast. We must be ready to stand against our adversary, the devil. We must be ready to stand this morning in one spirit. You say, what are we supposed to stand fast in for, preacher? We must stand fast in our conversation. What we say and what we do ought to be pleasing to God. Friends, I want you to know this morning, if you can get behind a closed door and you can run your mouth and do what you want to behind that closed door, you listen to this preacher. God Almighty, he knows it. Can I get an amen? He says this morning in our conversations, what you wouldn't say in public, you shouldn't say behind a closed door this morning. He says in our conversations, look here in verse number 27, he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh to the gospel. Friends, I want you to know this morning, I thank God that when he knows my thoughts, he knows my walk, and he knows my talk, that I can be ready to stand for Christ this morning. We can be ready to stand for him in one spirit this morning. But not only in our conversations, but in our Christianity, we must be ready to stand for God. We must be ready to stand for Christ this morning. Not only in our conversation, but in our Christianity. You say, what are you talking about, Christianity? Do you know what your Christianity is built upon? It is built upon the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That he bled and died and rose again on the third day. That is what your Christianity is based upon. Your Christianity is not based upon your good works or your good looks. It is best of all his good works on Calvary and what he did when he bled and died for your sins. Friends, I want you to know this morning, we must preach the blood of Jesus Christ. We must be ready to preach that blood. I want you to know this morning, if CIS or ICA or whatever that NCSI, if they come into this place, I don't know who they are, but if they come in, it'll look like a crime scene around this place. We should be talking about the blood of Jesus so much it'd be like a crime scene in this place. Friends, I want you to know it was a crime for them to kill him, but it was not a crime to him. He died on that cross because he loved you. This morning I want to ask you, are you ready to stand for him? Are you ready to stand for what he did in your life? Are you ready to stand in your conversation? I want you to know, I see so many times in the walk we walk, man, we'll read our Bible, we'll come to church, we'll do what we're supposed to do, but when we open our mouth, the floodgate floods open, and we can tell that we've not been at the spout where the glory runs out. Can I get an amen? Friends, I want you to know this morning, there should be something in your life that resembles the Father that is in heaven. He says in the word this morning, we must be ready to stand for Christ. He says not only in our conversation, not only in our Christianity, look, He says, only let your conversation be as become the gospel of Christ. Let it become the gospel of Christ. This week I would ask you, what have you done with your time? The same question God asked me. He said, I know your thoughts. How many times this week, preacher, have you shared the gospel? How many times this week have you proclaimed the gospel? How many times this week have you, in your conversation, told about your Christianity to your community? Oh, my friends, not only do we stand for Christ in our conversations, not only do we stand for Christ in our Christianity, but we stand for Christ in our community that we live in. Folks, I want you to know, if your neighbor is going to be saved that lives beside of you, it's up to you to tell them about Jesus. It's up to you to be that light. It's up to you to stand for Him. Not because we stand, look here, in our conversations, not because people hear us or they see us, but because Jesus knows our thoughts. Not because people hear us or they see us, it's because Jesus knows our thoughts. Friends, I want you to know, there may be a man here this morning thinking, man, I got things to do when I get out of here. I got places to go. I got things to do. Can I say to you this morning, your thoughts is not on Jesus. Friends, our thoughts must be on Jesus this morning. Turn with me to John 15, verse number 5. Not only do we in our conversations, in our Christianity, not only in our community, but we do it through Christ Jesus. This morning, the blood of Jesus Christ, it ran down that cross. In John 15, 5, if you want to know how to stand for Christ, He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Friends, this morning, without Jesus, we can do nothing. Nothing we can do. Friends, I want you to know, you can't even walk without Him holding your hand. Oh my goodness, my friends. He says, for without me you can do nothing. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. So many times we think in our life that we are the vine and He is the branches. Lord God, what I've done, it's me, me, me. Friends, I want you to know this morning, if it's all about you, one day it'll be all about you. One day it'll be all about you when you stand before Jesus Christ. If it's all about you here, it'll be all about you there. But if it's all about Him here, it'll be all about Him there. Amen. He says in the Word of God, He said that you must abide in Him and He in you. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Let me give you this. Jesus Christ don't grow out of you. You grow out of Christ. If He is the vine and you are the branch, He grows out of you. You grow out of Him. He is that vine that's standing there and you're growing out. Friends, never think that you're the one doing the growing. Never pat yourself on the back and get no attaboy because you're not the one growing. If you're growing any, it's because Christ is growing inside of you this morning. He knows your thoughts. He knows your actions. He knows your motives. And He knows this morning what you're wanting to do. He said, if you abide in me, he said, preacher, how am I going to stand for Jesus Christ? You must abide in Jesus Christ. To abide in Jesus Christ, that is to do His will, to do His work, to do what He'd have you to do. Friends, I want you to know this morning, to abide in Christ is not only to abide to be in His will when He knows your thoughts, but only to abide, but to obey what He tells you to do. When you abide in Him and you obey Him, your life will be so much better off. And you won't care that He knows the thoughts that's in your mind. Oh, Jesus said, and He knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. This morning, I want to ask you a question. This morning, would Jesus be pleased with the thoughts you're thinking right now? Would Jesus be pleased with the thoughts you've thought this week? Let me show you something else in the Scripture. I want to show you this. He said, not only do we abide and we obey, but we are attached to Christ. If you're that branch and He's that vine, you must be attached to Him. Folks, the Bible says any branch, any if you don't bear fruit, what will He do? He'll cut it off. He'll hew it off. He'll take away with it. He said the only way to stand is to abide in Christ, to obey in Christ, and to be attached to Christ. My question to you this morning, do your thoughts show that you're attached to Christ? Does your thoughts show that you're attached to Christ this morning? Let me show you something else though in the Word of God. Not only Jesus knows your thoughts, so you must be ready to stand for Christ. Also, you must be ready to strive together for Christ. Look here in the Scripture in verse 27. He says that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Not only are we supposed to be ready to stand for Christ, but we must be ready to strive together. You said, preacher, what is that? Let me give you a little Detroit language, okay? Everybody understand this. I ain't going to throw nobody off. This ain't no theological word. This ain't nothing you're going to find in the Strong's. This ain't nothing. It's just Detroit language. Ready to strive together, sister here. Can't we all just You know when we don't get along? Is when our thoughts ain't on Him. It's when you think your way is the right way, when you think your way is the way, and you think your way is the only way. Friends, the only word I read in the Bible where the way is right, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Hey, I've never seen my name or your name in there. I've seen His name. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. So this morning, if you want to stand for Christ and you want to be ready to strive, let me show you what you strive for. He says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The first thing to get along is to strive for the faith of the gospel. That's what He says, that gospel. We must strive for the faith of the gospel. Friends, I want you to know this morning that when a lost person sees our actions and what we do, it ought to be exemplifying the cross of Calvary. It ought to be exemplifying the gospel where He died for us and He rose again on that third day. Friends, I want you to know this morning, that's who we are telling the world about as Christians. Not only we should strive for the faith of God, but we should strive for the Father of the gospel. Man, you got a Father. You got a Heavenly Father that you're trying to please. You got a Heavenly Father that you're trying to look up to. Friends, I understand in the day we live in, kids don't respect parents. I understand that completely. I understand what they're saying. Parents are dumb and they're stupid and they don't know. I've been there as a kid and I knew my parents didn't know nothing. But guess what? The older I got, the more I realized they knew. You may not please your earthly father. But I want you to know this morning, everybody in this room, you must please your Heavenly Father. Numbers 11:1 said, and when the people complained, it displeased God. Folks, this morning, as a mom and daddy, I want to give you this. When your kid comes in and they're complaining, remember, you complained too at one time, amen? Okay, maybe you didn't. Hey, it's good. David Whitaker, I know you complain. That's one of my high school friends, best friend, if you will. I know you complain. We've done it together. Amen. Why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? And just popped my head on, so I'm going to give you a little lesson. He said that we must stand with the Father and do what we must strive to do what the Father would have us to do. When you get out of the will of the Father, it gets dangerous. That hedge that is placed around you gets dangerous. Folks, I want you to know, me and my friend back there, as I studied this message, I come to my mind, when you get out of the will of the Father and you quit standing with Him and you quit striving to do what He'd have you to do and you want to go against the will of the Father. There was a time in our life we wanted to go against the will of His daddy. And if you just knew His daddy, man, He'd have to call home to whoop you. He'd have to get mom and daddy's permission to whoop the kid that's spending the night with his kid. We don't do that no more. They disrespect them too. But back then, if you disrespected the man, that you got a whooping just when the kid got a whooping. Amen. If you're in here this morning, we serve the same Heavenly Father. And when I'm out of His will and you're out of His will, He don't call somebody else and say, can I whoop him? He tears us up. So His daddy was kicked back and we thought he didn't know nothing. He was uneducated. He didn't know how to live the good life. And man, he said the one thing before he went to bed, he said, listen, we didn't stand what he said and we did not strive to do what he told us to do. He said, whatever you do, do not get on that four-wheeler. Do not get on it. Y'all hear me? Yes, sir. Loud and clear. When he kicked back in that old recliner and he got to snore, you know what we did? We pushed that thing away from the house so it wouldn't be heard. That's what you're doing this morning. You're trying to push away from God so He can't hear you when you run away. Folks, He always knows you've been away. He always knows when you're out of the will. He always knows when you're not standing the way you need to stand. He always knows when you're not striving to do His will and you're going against Him, and it will show up in your life. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but listen to me. If you're a child of God and you're not in the will of God, He knows your thoughts, and it's going to show up sooner or later. What's in the well? It'll come up in the bucket. So we take off and we ride for a good while. Man, we're just having the time of our life. It's raining. Man, life's good. We'll get back close, kill the four-wheeler, roll it back in. We stood with Him. We strived with Him. Everything He told us to do, we've done it. He'll never know until we come off a big hill where pavement is and a big old mud hole at the bottom. We was running so fast, I went over the top of the four-wheeler and the tire run my head, slap over. Oh, yeah. When I got up, I said, what does it look like? What does it look like? He said, it ain't that bad. You know what your Christian friends will do? Hey, I'm up in sin this deep. What does it look like? Well, you don't look that bad. One beer's not going to hurt you. One little lie's not going to hurt you. One blow up is not going to hurt you. You listen to me this morning. When you get out of the will of God, it will hurt you. It will hurt you when you get away from that hedge that He has on your life. As we came back to the house, man, I'm squalling, Brother Brent. I am crying, and I'm needing help, and tears are flowing. I went against what the man had said, and the only thing I could think of is we're in trouble. And as we get back to the house, he says, look, you got to quit that crying. You got to quit that crying mess. Boy, I started whopping in my eyes. I started getting it clear. And that's what a lot of you do. You get ready on Sunday morning, and the pain and the tears, and you've done so much wrong, and you think, I can't be forgiven. You listen to me this morning. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've been, where you've been. The Bible says, for whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever, let him come. He's standing with arms wide open. As we walked into that house and that face run over, he said, we snuck on through. He said, hey, y'all ain't been riding that four-wheeler, have you? No, sir. We turned right on in there and got where we needed to be. Folks, you listen to me. You can lie to a man, but you can't lie to God. You can lie to a man, but you can't lie to God. You said, preacher, what are you? That don't even make no sense. There's a lot of you been run over by sin this morning. There's a lot of you who's had your face mashed down to the concrete in life. I want you to know. There's a lot of you in here this morning. If we had a blackboard up here, you could write out every sin in your life. You could write out everything's going on, every problem, every mistake with somebody else. But it's time that you write your own mistake down. It's time you write your own failure down. It's time you write your own mistake on that blackboard. You listen to me this morning. When I didn't understand what the teacher said, you know what they would do with that old blackboard? They'd take that eraser and just clear it off. Just smear it off. Folks, this morning, if you've messed up this week with God, if you messed up this year, you remember this. By the blood of Jesus Christ, He can wipe the slate, the slate, the slate, the slate. He can wipe it clean. You'll only remember Jesus' name. He knows your thoughts. He knows if you're standing. He knows if you're striving this morning. Friends, I don't know about you, but I want to stand with Christ, don't you? If everybody leaves this church, I want to stand for Christ. Folks, if everybody quit striving, I want to strive for Christ. Because you know what? There's not a person in this room ever died for me. There's not never one of you ever shed blood for me. But He did. It don't matter what you've done, where you've been, or where you think you're going. And Jesus Christ loves you. Never get thinking that you've done too bad that you can't come to the cross of Calvary. And don't let anybody ever tell you you've done too bad to be in His love and protection. Let me give you this in the Word this morning. I just want to be right where God would have us to be this morning. I feel the Spirit of God. He says this, that we should strive for the faith of the gospel. We should strive for the Father of the gospel. My friends, I want you to know this morning, we should strive for the future of the gospel. And then let me give you this. Not against one another. To strive here is not against one another, but striving together for the future of the gospel. For that faith of the gospel, we're striving together. Let me give you this. Not against. Nothing scars. Listen to this. Nothing scars a church more. Is everybody ready? It's more of that Detroit theology. Nothing scars a church more than self-seeking, petty gripes, and misunderstandings which cause us to strive against one another. Petty gripes. You ever heard somebody tell you, you start griping? That's petty. You know what that do? That just fuel you up. Folks, this morning, I want you to know under the sound of God's word this morning, we must strive together for the gospel because Jesus Christ, He knows our thoughts. He knows our thoughts. Folks, listen, He knows it this morning. But let me give you something else. Not only will we be ready to stand for Christ in one spirit, ready to strive together to get along in one spirit, we must be ready to suffer for His sake in one spirit. Look in verse number 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, means of Satan, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, not only just to believe on Him, look here, but also to suffer for His sake. Folks, this morning, as being a born-again believer, you're going to suffer for Christ Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I was told when I got saved it was going to be a cakewalk, luxury. Everything I wanted was going to come my way. Big money, big spending, big living. You find that preacher, you call him, you tell him he just told you not the truth. Let's say that. The Bible says it's a lie and the truth ain't in us. Folks, this morning I want you to know when you come to know Jesus Christ, the battle just begun. The battle just begun when you come to know Jesus. What you used to could do and get away with, you can't do no more. A little ticker on the inside will just be ticking that heart. Be getting on that heart, be ticking you on the inside, letting you know that you're out of the will of God. Why? Because He knows your thoughts. We must be ready to suffer for His sake. Not only believe, but suffer. If you'll turn with me to John chapter number 15 and verse number 20, I want to show you the suffering for our Lord and Savior. John 15, 20, we must also be ready to suffer for our Savior. John 15, 20, the Bible says, written in red, so Jesus says, John 15, 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Turn with me, if you will, not only ready to surrender there, but if you'll turn with me to suffer, turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. And the Bible says, when we suffer for the Lord's sake, coming to church on Sunday nights, not suffering, by the way. It sure ain't sacrifice, amen. Coming to church on Wednesday night, you're not suffering for having to come. Teaching, Sister Vicki, teaching VBS this week, there's not a teacher wasn't going to suffer. That's not what we're talking about. You may be a little out uneasy and out of your comfort zone. Them kids may ask you a question that you don't know. You may have a shoe that needs to be tied by a 15-year-old. I mean, they may be things that just you're not used to doing, but suffering for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is when you're walking that life that He's called you to walk. You're walking it, and all them old friends around you and all them old buddies are going a different way. And they said, man, you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to live that way. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. He's not going to send you to hell. Just live like you want to. Do what you want. He loves everybody. For God so loved the world. Oh, yeah. And can I tell you this morning, He'll send nobody in this room to hell. You know who will? He provided the plan. Let me give you this. God thought it, and Jesus brought it, and the Holy Ghost this morning is teaching it to you this morning. He's teaching to you this morning that you must suffer for our Lord and Savior. 2 Timothy 3:12, if you will. Yea, and all, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that shall live godly. You're not suffering persecution this morning. I'm not saying you're saved, but maybe you're just not living godly this morning. Just saying. But also, let me give you this in the text. There's, when we get here, to suffer for His sake, there's benefits for suffering for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One benefit this morning when we suffer, it shifts our eyes off of what's going on and puts them to the Savior. You ever seen somebody suffering and going through something? And they put their eyes on God. Friends, that's one benefit this morning. Another benefit is suffering strengthens our faith. It strengthens our faith. But also suffering serves as an example to the world. When we suffer, we don't quit going to church. We don't quit doing what God's called us to do. And we stand firm and we strive with Him and we suffer for Him. It shows that we're lined up with the Word of God. I want to ask you this morning, if somebody bled and died for you, hung on a cross, bled, died, took your sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west, what is so bad that you would get mad and quit serving Him this morning? What would it be? If you had cancer this morning and somebody walked up and said, listen, you can be healed right now, you wouldn't quit thanking Him. If somebody walked in and paid your mortgage off, every bill you had, you was debt free, and said, here you go, you just live the rest of your life the way you want to, you wouldn't quit thanking Him. Your thoughts wouldn't be in the gutter toward Him. Folks, this morning, I believe, as a born-again believer this morning, I'm preaching to myself, it's my thoughts that I have to guard. It's my thoughts that I have to guard. This morning, I want you to know that Jesus knows your thoughts. Not only are we ready to stand for Christ, not only are we ready to strive together, not only are we ready to suffer for His sake, but we must be ready to surrender to Jesus. We must, this morning, we must be ready to surrender to Jesus. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. And He knows this morning your destination. Folks, if He knows your thought, He knows your heart, He knows your mind, He knows everything about you. This morning, He knows, sitting in this congregation, who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. He knows already who's called on Him and who's not. He knows already who's knocked on His heart's door and said, hey, here I am. He said, preacher, are you talking about election that some gets to go to heaven and some don't? Oh, no, my friend. I'm talking about He knows your thoughts. He knows what you've done decided right now that I've decided to follow Jesus. Folks, I want you to know the Bible says, for whosoever will, let him come. There's not a person in this room who's done too bad or went too far to come to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's standing this morning with arms wide open, wanting you to come. Surrender your life to Him. This morning, if you've never surrendered to Christ, you can't stand for Him. You won't be able to stand if you've not surrendered. You won't. You won't be striving with Him. You'll be going with the world. Can't serve two masters. I heard a preacher say this one time. Said a man went on vacation. Said he went to a church and they went and they sat in. And they got back. And they asked, the preacher said, well, how'd your vacation go? Said it went good. Went to a visiting church and we visited and it was a good time. So what did you think about the preacher? How was his preaching go? Said, well, I don't know, but he got a lot of splinters in his hind end. Got a lot of splinters in his hind end. So yeah, he rode the fence all service long. He tried to serve two masters. He tried to serve the congregation. And he tried to serve God. And he's full of splinters. Folks, this morning I want to ask you a question. Are you full of splinters? Have you been trying to ride it both ways? Sunday morning church. The rest of the week do it your way. That's the way you're living. You're riding the fence. You've not totally gave in to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're full of splinters this morning. There's only one way to get them out. That's come to Jesus. You know David and Bathsheba? You know the story? You know what happened? David went out and he looked out and he seen her down there bathing. He lusted in his heart. He tarried behind. He should have been out at battle, but instead he's tarried behind. So how did he get it right, preacher? You'll turn with me to Psalm 32:5 in closing this morning. The psalmist David said in Psalm 32:5, Jesus knows your thoughts this morning. Well, preacher, how do I get peace about what He knows this morning? Psalms 32:5, if you want to know this morning how to get them splinters out, so when Jesus knows your thoughts, it won't be painful. I'll give you a little something that David did. Psalm 32:5, David said to the Lord, I acknowledge my sin. Not your neighbor's sin, not your husband or your wife's sin. Care less if you know somebody else's sin. It ain't doing you a bit of good. All you'll do about somebody else's sin is gossip about it. But David realized he got to the place, he said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, David said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. This morning, if you're not pleased with the thoughts that you're thinking, that God knows that you're thinking in your mind, you must acknowledge your sin this morning. Folks, I want you to know this morning that as your pastor, I want you to be able to stand where God would have you to stand. I want you to strive for this church the way He'd have you to strive. And I look around this congregation, and we've had many saints suffering lately. Last 2-3 years, a lot of sufferings went on in this church. But I can go around this church, and I can look around, and I can see some of them battle warriors. Even though they've been run over and mashed down, you know what? They keep coming back. I'll never forget, Brother Harold, we was going to get him some substitute for Sunday school. A bunch of them. We had them lined up forever. And I asked somebody one Sunday morning, I said, well, how'd it go, Brother? How'd so-and-so do, Brother Harold? He's out with that heart attack, you know. He'd probably be 6 months to a year. Most church members would, Brother Harold. 6 months to a year. They said, oh, he talked this morning. What? Man, he ain't been out for 2 weeks. Yeah, he stood up and talked this morning. You know, that's when you stand up. You strive to do what God's called you to do. Surrender your life to Him and say, Lord God, here I am. Use me. Maybe this morning you're not pleased with the thoughts you've been thinking that God knows about you. Maybe you need to get in this altar this morning and say, I acknowledge my sins and you have forgiven my iniquity. Folks, this morning you say, well, I got tomorrow, preacher. No, there's a lot of things you know, but that's one thing you don't know. You don't know if you'll walk back in here at 4 o'clock this evening for VBS. They don't know. We don't know. You don't know. But there's one thing I do know you have this morning. You have this morning to acknowledge your sin and get it right before an almighty God. Let us pray. Father God, I love you. Father, I thank you for this morning that you've given us. Father God, I thank you that we can worship. Father God, I thank you. So far in my ministry, Father God, I have no splinters. Father God, I say so far, Father, because I realize that any time I could turn and Father God, do it my way. But Father God, I want to stay with the word. I want to stay with what you've given us, Father God, as this congregation does, Father God. We don't want to move. We don't want to change. We want to stay ready.